Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ecology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and boys and girls. Welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I will be with you for the next hour on this now August the 6th on the West Coast, August the 7th on the East Coast, and in the Central Time Zone. So nice to have you with us tonight, especially those of you who are listening on both Wind Talkers Radio Network as well as Block Talk Radio. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope we cover something that not only do you understand, but lets you know that we are working to bring the truth forward. Lots to talk about tonight. Rather than waste time, I have a lot of things I want to say, and I'm sure they'll come out in the context of the discussion I'm about to have with tonight's guest. He is a talk show host in his own right. He's a former U.S. Marine, and he is heard on both Blog Talk Radio as well as Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world, Monday through Friday. And I've had the opportunity twice to be on his show this week, and he's making his appearance tonight, first time this week, and only time.
I hope.
He hopes. Let us not bid any further ado, and let's bring him on board. My good friend, my dear friend, and my foxhole partner, Drew Malone Raines III. Drew, welcome to Evident Footprints.
I'm here, and I'm locked and loaded in the swine flu that is being brought to you by Big Pharma, i.e., I'm standing up against, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm not going to go quietly in the night, and I want to thank you, Don, for that eloquent introduction. As a former United States Marine, I am also an electronic engineer and a real estate broker and appraiser, owning my own real estate company, my own appraising company, and my own electronic company, and now I've been regulated down to the point where I stand for the Constitution. It's just me.
Well, that's a mouthful.
I got news for you. I got a sword, I got my gun, and I got something new. I got some brand new microchips in today. Patriot microchips, a.k.a. 308. Bunker Busters.
Ah, and who are those for? Might I ask?
These suckers are manufactured by RBCD Ammo in Texas, and you hit something like an aluminum block out of a car, and it'll put it in one bullet. It'll put an aluminum block in three pieces.
Oh my goodness!
Now they're expensive. Believe it or not, I ordered these suckers a month ago when I got a donation in. And I got a box of 20, and the freight and everything came to $89.
Wow. Well, that's not cheap, is it?
That's $3 a bullet.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you got to factor in the shipping, of course.
Well, that's true. But the bottom line is, you could take a 308 from any other manufacturer and pump in about 10 or 12 rounds into an aluminum block, and it ain't going to do squat.
Yeah.
One of these hits the aluminum block, and it's going to blow that sucker from here to Caddo Lake.
Okay, well, there's a lot to talk about tonight. I want to address an issue that came through a flood of emails or IMs that you got from people, and it's in regard to some of the research that they're not understanding, okay? And I just want to take a couple of minutes to cover this.
Oh, wait a minute. I got news for you. I sat and had a long chat with about 12 people from Russia today, this evening, and we clarified everything to the point where, well, now this makes sense.
Oh, okay. Well, I still bring it up because maybe there were some people that didn't get in on that chat. So I just want to say that the genealogical research on some of the families that I've done, say like the Scherf family, okay? The Scherf family is from Germany, and when they came to the United States, they were infiltrators, and they were worked into a family with a false genealogy, like so many others that we found. This is how governments historically are infiltrated, especially through spy networks. And the Bushes come from such a place. Now, there are new listeners to this show, and I've been talking about this issue for over 2 years. And I urge people to read my research. Now, some people have difficulty with the language. I understand that. But let me tell you, even having done the research and connected the dots and written the articles, I go back and read these from time to time just to refresh my memory, and I'm amazed at some of what I actually found. You know, you sort of set this aside after you write it. It's like a big weight comes off your shoulders, and then you wait to see what people are going to say. Well, people, by and large, got very interested in this research because it's been proven true. So, I'm not asking people to believe anything. Those articles had numerous references, what you call a bibliography or a source. I listed my sources for a lot of the information. Some of the links became dead because they didn't want you to see the truth, but it's okay because we had the backup documents anyway. The bottom line is, did this happen or did it not happen? And yes, it did happen, and I have been very outspoken about that. When you write it, when you put it in writing, you have to be sure about what you're writing. There, one can speculate, and one can say, I'm speculating on this, I'm drawing my own opinions or my own conclusions, but I prefer to bring the truth out and base it on facts. So if you understand English well enough to understand what I'm saying, then I urge you to polish up your English, get a little bit better at it, and read what I have written in these articles. Now, if I spoke Russian and I could write and read Russian, I would tackle translating it myself. I think I would be able to do that because I could do it in French or German or Italian and not have any problem with that. There are words that I'm using that are, yes, maybe outside of your vocabulary, but that's why they make dictionaries, you know. And I'm going to work on my Russian. I promise my Russian listeners that I will work on that so I can say a few things to you every night in Russian. That's the way it should be. Maybe I could learn from Stanley Ann Dunham.
Wait a minute. She got pushed under the bus.
Okay. Anyway, I wanted to just get that message out to some of the people that, feel a little bit left out because from time to time, especially when you're on the show, Drew, we use really big words, and they have a little bit of trouble understanding us. So, the questions are welcome. I can tell you most of the time the questions you're going to ask are already in the article. And if they're not, I'm happy to answer any that I can. And if I can't at the moment that you ask that question, I will do my best to find the answer. Fair enough?
Sounds good.
Okay. Drew, tell us what's going on today.
Sun came up.
And went down, too.
It's gone down. I mean to tell you, big time. What's going on out there? I'll tell you what's going on. The American people are getting, I can't say it anymore. They're getting upset. There we go. They're really getting upset across the board. Right here in Little Rock, Arkansas, they have come out and had almost a shouting match here. Took down the two Democratic congressional men from Washington, D.C., and these two Democrats found out real fast that the American people in Arkansas that are pro-Democrat they don't want to have anything to do with this health care bill that Obama's trying to push down their throat, and they got a first-hand lesson on the fact that it's not a black-white issue. It is an American issue. Half of the crowd that was at this town hall meeting here in Little Rock was more than the share of Obama followers from just 6 months ago, and now they're really irate. They don't have anything to do with this. Just one black lady that had three kids in tow said that she wasn't going to give up her health care that she was getting from AT&T to take on this health care that Obama's trying to shove down their throat. And she's learned what the truth is, and she's not going to give up her rights pursuant to what Obama's trying to implement within this health care bill. And those of you out there that haven't read this health care bill that Obama's brought forth, you need to get out there and look at it. There's actually some hints in there on gun control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're hearing that more and more. Yes, and I agree with you. People are getting I know the word you were going to use. They are getting upset, aren't they?
Well, I've been listening to a lot of these town hall meetings throughout the day, and Don, I'm not one to use the profanity language, and I'm quite amazed at the profanity that I'm hearing used in town hall meetings that are, they're told before they walk in the door that there's a live camera and they're on the internet for the local people. And the profanity that comes out of these people, you know, I'm sorry. I spent 10 years in the Marine Corps. The only time I ever heard Marines curse, is when somebody was beating on them.
Mm-hmm.
And it just blows me. And this, we're not talking about men. We're talking about ladies that are dressed to the hilt. I heard one woman tonight. I had to take a double check on the lady. She had a really, really nice dress from a European manufacturer. She had a ring on her wedding band hand that would have choked my throat in a heartbeat.
Uh-huh.
And she came out and blurted the F word about three times on this congressman.
Yeah, I heard something last week. This lady really went on. I mean, she really reamed these guys and said, "I want my country back. We want our country back." She was absolutely incensed, and I thought, "There now, where are the men?"
Yeah. And
really?
Here's another one. I heard tonight, I was listening to one of the mainstream radio stations, and there was a lady that called in on that show, and she was irate that people like me are out here standing up against all of what Obama's administration is trying to do, literally telling me that these people that go to, she wasn't telling me, she was telling the audience of the world that were listening to this radio network show. It's a syndicated. It was being played on KARN here in Little Rock, and she was very adamant that all of these town hall meetings are planned and orchestrated by the right-wing people who want to bring down Obama. She even came out and made one comment that it was racist, and it has nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
I know I've got some super, super educated men that I have worked around and respect, Don, that have got a far greater education than I do. I mean, Dr. David Manning's got 5 master degrees and 2 doctorate degrees, and my professor that teaches law school at the University of Arkansas Law School has 2 master's degrees, 1 in philosophy, 1 in law, and then he turns around and he's got a doctorate degree in psychology.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a blind black man, 5'7", and he quotes when he answers the phone, "You've reached a blind black man, 5'7", and fat. What's your question?"
Yes. And then in walked the long-legged Mac Daddy.
And he's all over Dr. Manning. He wants Dr. Manning to run for public office. He says, "You run for public office, and I'll bring my brigade of black people, and we'll come up and get you elected in a minute."
Yeah, you know, I've been listening to Dr. Manning. In fact, I heard Rick Adams play a portion of the very sermon. Well, it was more like a speech, really, but we call it a sermon because he's anointed for sure.
Amen.
But it's the one where he's saying, you know, white people aren't going to put up with this. White people aren't going to stand for this. And he played that whole piece, okay? And I'm thinking to myself, boy, I should play that for my listening audience. And I may do that, next time you're on the show.
I have that piece.
Yeah, I know you do. I've had it myself.
I've played that piece. It's about 10 minutes.
Yeah, and I'd like to play the video, even.
There's something that you got to see, ladies and gentlemen. As a matter of fact, I've got it on my News and Views, the video link. I put it up there for 3 days running, and I'm going to put it back up there again tomorrow.
Yeah. Now, Drew, I just posted a response. I don't know if that was Larissa that sent me the message, but I understood the message, and I sent my response. But I still am going to keep my word. So.
All right. Well, what I can do is I'll cut and paste it. Okay?
Yeah, yeah. Just
my Russian is not near as good.
Yeah, just respond back to it, you know. So.
Okay.
I got the message, but we worked the problem out together. Tell her. She'll appreciate it anyway.
All right. Well, I sent it to her. It just now got sent.
Okay. All right. Very good.
Okay.
Everybody's wondering what we're talking about here. I got a message in Russian, and I responded back in Russian. So we'll work on it together. My affirmation, we'll say.
Affirmation, okay.
Okay, so we were talking about Pastor James David Manning, and we're talking about these folks that are coming out now, and they're letting their local representatives, I should say local representatives, their representatives in Washington are on vacation, folks, right now. And because of that, they're returning home, and they're finding out that people are very unhappy with what they're doing. And still they go ahead when they're in Washington and pretend like none of this is going on. So it's going to be interesting to see how they approach this when they go back at the end of this month, this vacation.
Hey, I got the word. I got a word here from one of the Marines out in California. He says that he comes in and he says even Nancy Pelosi is worried about her job. The people in California in her district are really fed up with this.
Yeah, yeah.
Fine. And here's a commentary from our friend Peter. Peter comes in and says that Feinstein is. Possibly may not run because the large contingency of people there want her out because she has been instrumental in forcing down the stimulus package where only the big bankers are getting the money, and yet the little bankers around America are the ones that are closing left and right, and they're not getting any money, and the local people in the metropolitan area of San Francisco where her district sits, they're fed up. They've seen five banks go under that could have easily been bailed out and helped, but they got no stimulus money whatsoever. Only the big banks, and the big banks did everything to pay themselves large bonuses.
Yes, yes. Now, Drew, I hate to interrupt you. I sent another response in Russian.
I'm sorry. I don't. I'm not monitoring that computer. I'm over here on something else.
All right. Just letting you know.
Oh.
This issue of the banks, We've been talking about this. I'm hearing more people actually step forward now, people with an understanding of the financial community, and they keep pointing out this corruption, the overlooking of the scandals that are going on. Of course, the government, the very top, we're talking about the Federal Reserve and the Treasury, are totally immersed in this corrupt shuffling of money. It's an international ping pong game. And I heard something this evening that the Bernie Madoff money is actually not $50 billion, but it's more like $140 billion, and I still think that's scratching the surface. I think we're not being told half of what's going on. But don't you find that interesting that comes out now after he already pled guilty and got to go to the federal country club?
Well, here's one for you. And I hate to mention this to some of those people out there that don't really follow all my shows, but on my Thursday show, every Thursday, I have a gentleman coming in from South America who he really lives outside the country because of the detriment to his well-being.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Bob Chapman, and 4 months ago, when Barry Madoff was arrested, Bob sent me an email, and he says they're talking about $50 million, and it's more like $500 million.
You mean billion, don't you?
I meant billion dollar. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
More like $500 billion, and I didn't realize I said million. I'm not used to these big words here. You know, I'm used to $20 a week. You know, $100 a month. Ladies and gentlemen, $200 a month, I can live good and pay all my bills. I'm sorry. I don't know what I'd do if I had enough money to go buy a hard drive or pay the taxes off on the land, which I've got to do sometime in the next couple of years. Otherwise, one of the nicest things about Arkansas, you can get behind on your taxes up to 7 years before they come knocking on your door and tell you you got to pay them or they're going to sell it.
Yeah, and they don't even own it. That's the interesting
thing. And they never owned it in the first place. But, boy, they want to sell it when you don't give them their school board taxes and you don't even have children.
Yeah, I know.
And they do this all over. Now, there's only one state in the union that you cannot take a man's house even if you're late on, even if you haven't paid the taxes. You know what state that is?
No, tell us.
Florida.
Hmm.
Boy, and we're not talking about a shanty house. We're talking about any house. You could be living in a $2 million home or a $10 million home, and the government cannot take that house away. That's in their law.
I got a great question. Do you think Deutsche Bank pays property taxes on all these thousands of houses that they're scooping up?
Yeah, that's a good question. That is a good question. And here's another thing. They've lost three more lawsuits. They've lost three more houses where the judges have said, wait a minute, you can't prove that you own this property. You can't prove these people have a mortgage with you. I'm sorry. Bye. Have a nice day.
Mm-hmm.
You get proof and you come back in here that you have a legal interest to file a lawsuit on this. And here's the big kicker on all three of those that Deutsche Bank lost today. The three original mortgage companies have long been closed 7 or 8 or even 10 years ago. There's no records. They're gone.
Yeah, yeah.
And in Arkansas, even real estate brokers in Arkansas have to hold all of their papers for 7 years. And then as they get old, at the end of 7 years, they literally have to burn the records because of the Social Security numbers, private information, the whole ball of wax.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Drew, tonight I had an interesting conversation with somebody that's really keeping tabs on what's going on. And this is a senior citizen like you and me, okay? Somebody that's been...
I beg your pardon.
Okay, a little bit younger. somebody about our age, okay, who has done very well in business and is really interested in what's going on, has been reading some of my research, and he brought up a very interesting word. And I wanted to talk about this word because this word describes everything that we're witnessing right now. One single word, okay? The word is syllogism.
Whoa. Now, if you're talking to a United States Marine here, I do not, I've got vocabulary. I really have a vocabulary. But that was a little bit over my head now.
Okay, now I'm going to give you
How do you spell it? How do you spell it, first of all?
Okay, it's spelled S as in Sierra, Y-L-L-O-G-I-S-M. Syllogism, okay? An instance of a form of reasoning in which a conclusion is drawn, whether validly or not.
Wait a minute. Hold it. No. It's a form of deductive reasoning.
Well, it is, but hold on. Let me give this more detailed explanation here, okay? Because this describes what's going on today, okay? All right? It a form of deductive reasoning as distinct from induction, it would be, okay? All right. Now, let me repeat myself here. Let me finish before you interrupt me, please. Thank you.
I'm going to say another word. I got super glue on my lip.
Okay. An instance of a form of reasoning in which a conclusion is drawn, whether validly or not, from two given or assumed propositions or premises, each of which shares a term with the conclusion and shares a common or middle term not present in the conclusion. Hawaii and Kenya are both a syllogism. Okay? Cut and dry. Hawaii and Kenya is a stale, pointless argument because both are lies. And that is the syllogism that our country is debating over. And really, people all over the world. Everybody wants to know, where is this thing going to go? Where is this going to go? Well, let's say the not part, whether validly or not, meaning it's not. You can't make this deduction from two opposing sides. That is the definition of the Hegelian dialectic, okay? A lot of people have been asking, you know, what do you mean exactly about the Hegelian dialectic? Dialectic, where we take two opposing philosophies and it's like Democrat and Republican, okay? Or, you have this in any two-party political system. You have these opposing sides that are masquerading as standing behind certain foundational principles, and they are either for labor organizations or they're for the wealthy people, okay? And it becomes an issue of pretending like you're for the people or you're for the corporations, okay? Without anyone really realizing that the people are working for the corporations, so there's a tie there. So the separation is intentional in terms of perception, but in reality, that separation doesn't exist. We're just told it exists, you see? So the people are divided by words or by concepts that are fictional. You tell me, is there any difference really between a Democrat and a Republican?
Are you asking me a question?
Yeah, I'm asking.
I got news for you. I thought if you were to take a Democrat and a Republican, put them together, you'd have a Republicancrat. And if you put the Republican with the Democrat, you'd have a Republicrat. So what's the difference? All humans are mortal. No humans are perfect. Some humans are healthy, and some humans aren't clever at all. And I can't find anybody that's a Republicrat or a Democrat that is clever.
Yeah, that's a great response on such short notice. Well, the point I'm making here is people are looking at everything from a political perspective, And right now, that's the biggest mistake we can make as Americans. We've got to start seeing ourselves as Americans and seeing ourselves as the ones being set up to be victimized here.
Oh, I've been shouting that going on 5 years since I first hosted my first radio show. What do you mean? You want me to host your show, Jack? I did a host for Jack McLean. He wanted me to come in and do a show 5 years ago. 5 years and 2 months ago, well, 4 months ago, it was back in April of 2004. And I'm not a talk show host. I'm not a talk show host today. I'm just a dumb, I'm not a dumb, but I am a Marine, but I'm an educated Marine. And I'm one of those that was smart enough to live through one of the worst conflicts that we've had until now. Now, I got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. You know, Democrats or Republicans or Democrats, whatever you want to call them, they're the same. They come out of the same bin of inequity. And, you know, I don't know what to tell you there, Don, but where are we going? But down the road, we're controlled by a spider out there, and the spider is the Illuminati. And, Chuck, what have we got to look forward to? We're literally going to go into a battle because they're so arrogant, they don't care about us. They don't care about Mrs. Jones or Mr. Smith or Mr. Futicello or Don Nikoloff or anybody out there. All they care about is their control, their mastery, and now they're finding out in Washington as Republicrats or Democrats that the people control the government, and they have to answer to the people, and this nation, i.e. the United States of America, is the last vestiges of real control that can take the government back and put it back into the hands of the people without major bloodshed. And if we do go into major bloodshed, it's going to be heard around the world. In China, the Chinese people are controlled by the mass army that they have. So the people don't have guns in China, but the population, i.e. out of a population of 3.78 billion people, 3.78 billion people, they have a military army of over 500 million men and women. But those 500 million men and women, out of that, half of them are going to be on the side of the people. But they still have 250 million man army that have guns and control the tanks and control the planes. But the other the other 3 billion people that are located, or the other 1.3 billion people that are in China, if they decide to take over the government and could care less about death, China would fall tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen in America.
Yeah. You know, I was talking to this gentleman that I mentioned earlier.
Yeah, the one that comes across with this $20 word called syllogism.
Syllogism.
Syllogism. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. That's not a dime word anymore. That's a $20 word.
Yeah, it's a big word, but it's a very.
Or Thomas Jefferson when I need him.
Yeah. Because we're living in a society today that's built on syllogisms. But mostly the illusory kind, the one.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Illusory. Yeah, you know, Thomas Jefferson wrote, "A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, which shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall take from the mouth of labor, shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government, and this is necessary to close the circle of our facilities." That was the words from Thomas Jefferson in his first inaugural address when he was attempting to let the people know that a government could get out of control.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, those are very profound words when we can look at what's going on today and they apply, don't they? Absolutely, they apply.
Well, he was right on, because he believed that man can't be trusted with the government of himself. I mean, if you go into office and you control the purse strings, you vote your pay raise. See, that's another thing. I personally feel that Congress and Senate and the President have no right to vote themselves a pay raise. If they vote a pay raise in, that's fine for the next guy that's elected to the office after he leaves office.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody else that comes in office that's being elected anew to the office but has not served in Congress at all prior to that date. Therefore, i.e., you have a congressman that's elected in hypothetically 1980, and his salary hypothetically is $40,000 a year, and he votes for a pay raise for the pay raise to go to $150,000. That's tough. He can't go. He stays on the $40,000 a year salary.
Yeah,
until the day he leaves office, and then he can't go back. He can't be voted out and then voted back in to get a pay raise. I don't believe in that either.
Yeah, there are a lot of people who have hypothesized that there should be like 2-year term limits to be in the Congress or the Senate.
I got news for you: the Texas Constitution, the original Texas Constitution for the Republic of Texas, when Texas was its own republic, its own nation, with its own army, its own navy, its own police force, i.e. the Texas Rangers, even though there were only 160 of them, they covered the entire Republic of Texas, their own army, after they became the Republic of Texas, their constitution specifically said that no person would be elected to the representative legislative or Congress, their Congress, because they listed it as Congress. They call it a legislative now, legislative office now, but to their Congress could serve no more than one term.
And how long was the term?
2 years.
2 years, just like I said. So,
but a senator was elected for 3 years, and it was set up as one 3-year term, and every year two-thirds of the Senate, one-third of the state Senate of Texas was to be turned over. Every year they would have election. Not every 2 or 3 years, every year. And in the congressional side, every two years, the Congress of Texas would be changed completely. Every 2 years.
Now, what do you think that Texas Congress in those days would have done if they found out one of their members was running a whorehouse, we'll say, okay, a brothel or a pedophile ring out of a house?
Well, let's go to the pedophile ring because they prostitution was legal.
Oh, back then it was legal, huh?
It was legal in Texas. Yeah, prostitution was legal in Texas, but they did have moral laws, and I don't know if they called them pedophiles of that day, but if a man, i.e. a man or a woman, was apprehended in an immoral act with a child under the age of 13. Okay, you were considered an adult when you were not an adult, but a young adult at the age of 15. But under 13, if you were a male, and you had sexual perversions with children, you were hung high. You were given a trial to prove that you were innocent. But before you were hung, the local church would have their trial, and the evidence would be brought forth. It could not be just the child making an accusation. It had to be some other evidence, much like a doctor inspecting a woman for rape.
Yeah. Now all these types of cases are publicized, highly publicized today. And nothing's done about it. What does that tell you?
We got a big time problem where we've got school teachers that are in their 20s and 30s seducing young boys that are 13 and 14 and 15 years old.
Well, men are doing it to the girls too. You know,
and the men. I got news for you. I'm not leaving the men out. the men are doing the same thing, and the girls that they're seducing are girls that are providing these favors so they can have a better grade. That's all it's for. There is right now, there is a gentleman in a specific state. I won't mention it because it's not being publicized very, very much, but he hasn't been found guilty. The girl, a 13-year-old girl, is pregnant and is accusing this professor at a school, or a former professor at a college. He was a teacher at this school, and the trial has not finished, but she happens to be pregnant. And she says he's the father, and he says that he is not. But there has been four other girls, age 13, that have come forth to admit to have had sexual relations with the professor. And it's looking pretty bad that even though he may be found innocent with this girl, with this specific girl, the evidence is profound that he's been seducing the 13-year-old girls in the classroom after school, and giving them better grades than what they really qualified for, and it's turning into a big time mess in that particular town. It's not being promoted through the mainstream medias, and I'm afraid that I'm able to give this information out because I know the Marine that happens to be the district attorney in this case, and he calls me on the phone and he says, "Drew, I want to sit down and cry every night."
Yeah,
it's going on for 3 weeks.
It's devastating that this goes on. And then, you know, you look at the education the kids are getting these days. I had a conversation recently with Jim Murray, the scientist, and he's appalled at some of the things that he comes across from college graduates that have high-paying jobs with some of these government contractors in high technology, and he's appalled at how little they really understand about what they're doing, and they're getting paid enormous sums of money. You know,
I'm glad you brought that up. I want you to know that I ran across an article where the CEO of Merrick is paid $19.9 million a year.
For doing what?
For being the chief executive officer sitting at a desk smoking a cigar. For Merrick, you know, Merrick, the big pharmaceutical, Merrick?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes, Merck.
Merck, okay, I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, I can't read and write sometimes. I'm deaf in one ear and can't hear in the other one.
Well, you went to that same school system.
So. Yeah, I went to that same. No. My school system was a whole lot better.
I'm just kidding.
My vocabulary is not worth a flip, but I got news for you. Maddie Mae Brown be turning around on her grade if I messed up. She taught me a lot. And my English teacher, gee whiz. And my math teacher and algebra teacher, I got news for you. I respect Mrs. Ponder, my biology teacher. I'm going to tell you, I love that lady to death. She just didn't know it.
Yes. Well, you know, we were talking a few minutes ago about deductive reasoning, and there seems to be really a lack in deductive reasoning. They have conditioned the human mind to respond to images and sounds, and images and sounds are then taken the next step to produce feelings, but they're feelings in the mind. They're not feelings that come from the heart. And like a good education where somebody has the confidence to solve problems, and I don't mean memorize formulas, but I mean to solve problems where no one has taught you, no one can teach you how to solve that problem other than by using deductive reasoning and logic. And I don't mean twisted logic, and I don't mean logic based upon a brainwashed, propagandized mind. And it's amazing to watch the people. When you bring up the types of topics that we bring up, you and I and others that are watching what's going on, And people don't want to hear it for some strange reason.
And they're afraid to stand up. It's like Elizabeth Book, this lady down in Florida, going to be on my show tomorrow to promote, to let the world know that she is the instigator about bringing the lawsuit to the forefront here in the United States. She organized the $7,000 that was needed to bring forth the lawsuit. And she's got a good background in education. She doesn't have the funds to put it all together, but she went out as an activist to a lot of friends in Florida, Dade County, to the well-off, the well-affluent, and got them to donate the money, because they donated the money knowing that she wasn't going to spend it. She was going to make sure it's going to be articulated into the hands of the person to file the lawsuit and put the suit together. And she's been kind of ignored on the side by the people now that are promoting this lawsuit to stop vaccinations. But she did her homework. She looked out for everything. And we've got people out here like this guy at Merck. He's making $19.9 million a year, gets $30,000. Part of that is the $30,000 bonus just to fly a corporate jet anywhere he wants to, any time he wants to. His base salary might be just $2 million, but I'm looking at the idea, $2 million to sit in an office to control a company? What's the job function of a CEO when you've got a company that's got 25,000 employees worldwide? What's your job? You know, I'm lost here. I really am.
Yeah, well, that's why you're not a CEO making $2 million. I'm just kidding.
Hey, guy, I used to make $25,000 a month till I saw what was going on in this world, and I had to walk away from it. Three careers I just backed away from.
Yeah, you know I'm just pulling your leg.
You are. I realize that.
For the listeners out there, the lawsuit you're talking about is the lawsuit that is contesting the validity and the intention of this bird swine flu vaccination.
And Elizabeth wants to put a stop to it, and as well as putting a stop to it to go on the military men. But when I read the lawsuit from PDF pictures, and this is what amazes me. They put this lawsuit together in a PDF photo and passing it around like, well, we can't put it out there in a file where people can copy it and make it. If they're gonna file their own, they gotta type it from scratch and read it from this piss poor this bad photograph. And if they wouldn't take that much trouble, then they deserve to file a lawsuit. Well, that's a bunch of BS, because all you got to do is go on paper, pull the lawsuit down, and print it out,
mm-hmm.
and change it around to yourself.
Yeah. Now, she, what you're talking about, she fronted all this money to get this lawsuit initiated, and then they cut her out of the lawsuit.
Yeah.
Now, that's fraud, is it not?
Well, in my world it is, in your world it is, but not in their world. I mean, you got all this plagiarism that you've run into just this last week. You know that these people out here, they want to pat themselves on the back. They want all the hula. They want to make all the money or get all the gratitude, even if it's just the gratitude, so they can move on to something else. Or maybe they're using it to where, okay, we got the lawsuit put together. She didn't do anything. We better not mention her name. But because we put this up here, now we've got this file, so here's our PayPal account. Send us money, because we've actually done it, and we're hoping that maybe the 5 million Americans that are referred to as birthers out there will send us $10, and we, i.e. these people, can pocket $5 or $6 million.
Yeah. So it's already become a COINTELPRO type operation.
Correct. That's what I see.
Yeah, that's obvious. So, you know, it's going to take people using people that they know. I'm just it raises so many questions. Where she found this attorney, And in general, people have a rather low opinion of most attorneys. Not all of them. You know, I have one on my show quite regularly, Carl Pearson. And I have not met a man that measures up to his integrity and his morals and his resolve to fight for the little guy out there, which our government should be doing. Quite to the contrary, they, you know, they've got the cart before the horse all the time. And the horse, they're facing the horse, in the cart, and the horse is turned around backwards, if you get my meaning.
I got your meaning. I mean, Thomas Jefferson said that, in letters to, Henry Lee, the father of Robert E. Lee, when he said that, there are two types of people in America: those who fear and distrust the people and wish to draw all the power from them into the hands of the higher classes, and then there are those who identify themselves with the people, have confidence in the people, cherish and consider the people as the most honest and safe, and although not the most wide depository of the public interest. In every country of the world, there are two parties existing, and these are the two parties, ladies and gentlemen. And in every one of us, we have the right to free to think free, to speak free, and to write free, and to declare ourselves free and independent. But that's not what happening. And here we've got a lady that's standing up to independently speak and think and write and and bring forth a large group of people to stand up and say, sir, no, sir, we're not going to take your poison. We're not going to agree with the genocide. We're not going to be sheep taken to the slaughter.
And she's speaking for people all over the world in doing
and
so.
She's not speaking for just Americans. You know, Elizabeth Book is speaking for the world. But she felt that she, in her little jurisdiction, in her little world, she could do something, trying to save our country.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned Thomas Jefferson a couple of times, and this thought went through my head. And I want you to comment on this because, you know, back in the 1700s, in the early 1800s, late 1700s, they didn't have the Internet. They didn't have telephones. They didn't, you know, if they got a piece of mail to somebody, somebody got on a horse and rode for miles and miles and miles to get that there. Or when they had the trains, of course, the trains took that over. But
wait a minute, I'll go one better. There's a movie out there called the Patriot, the Mailman. Was it the Mailman?
Yeah,
the
Kevin.
Kevin Costner.
Yes.
He played in that movie, the Patriot, or not the Patriot, the. He was a mailman, and he wasn't a mailman, he just happened to slide into a mail truck where a postman was that was delivering mail to a city before the big vaccination killed off the population of the world, and the United States was taken into a turmoil. And the postman, that's it, the postman. And that's a very good thing of what we've got to look at. Mail was taken from small town to small town by one carrier and left there to be taken on to the next town and all the way down the line. And we're going to go back to that. We really are. I mean, we're not going to do it on our own. It's going to come, Don. I mean, I'm actually looking at a collapse of our nation to the point where we're going to be on horseback again.
Yeah, well, I wasn't necessarily focusing on that, but I was just drawing
I understand.
The visual image of what life was like back then. Okay, they didn't.
I got news for you. I'd like to live it.
Yeah, the point I was going to make is that Jefferson must have known on a spiritual level what was coming down, because this Illuminati plan wasn't something that was just hatched in the last 100 years. Or in the last 200 years, it's been going on. We know officially they made their declaration in 1776. The Illuminati, did, and we have that on the back of a dollar bill. That date that there's not has nothing to do with the day the United States was founded. That has everything to do with the year that they founded their little organization.
Correct. And, but it goes all the way back to 997 when the Pope was captured by the French Duke, and I forgot his name, and the French Duke held the Pope in captivity and finally put him on the gallows. And what did this Pope do? He was seducing young children that were coming in to pray in the church.
Yeah, he preyed on them.
He prayed on the people that came to the Church of Rome, and the Duke of France had enough, and his belief was in the original belief of God and he didn't call them the Waldenses, he just called them the believers, and these people were the members of a tribe of people that lived in the Alps in Italy, and he'd had enough, and that's when he found out that there was this hidden society in control, because the hidden society put this Pope in charge, this man in charge of the papacy, and he'd had enough, and it took 1,000 years for them to get enough power to come back and do it again, and that's what we've got now. We've got, it's not just in the papacy, it's also in the president, it's also in the Kremlin, it's also in the Chinese aristocratic government. And that's exactly what all governments are today, Don. They're all aristocratic, controlled elitists behind the scenes, being controlled by this spider, i.e. the Illuminati, in all nations. They're paying each other off. Somebody asked me today, says, well, they're not in all nations. Look at what happened in Korea. And I said, yeah, look at what happened in Korea. William Jefferson Clinton flies over and pulls the two girls that have been imprisoned over there. But what's going on? Did he take money over to them, or did the North Koreans pay money back? Because the girls got on the plane with an awful lot of luggage.
Yeah. Now let's talk about that story for a minute. What are the odds of two women saying, hey, you know, getting up in the morning saying, you know what we ought to do? We ought to hop on a plane. Let's go over to South Korea. Let's sneak into North Korea and get caught. You know, life's pretty boring these days. Let's do that, and then let's see what happens. Maybe somebody will come and rescue us.
Wait a minute, I got one better. You left something out.
Well, yeah, maybe.
One of these women has a 3-year-old daughter.
With her?
No. She left her 3-year-old daughter in California and went to Korea to do investigative reports and sneak into North Korea. She left a 3-year-old daughter. Now, there's something wrong with this when you're telling me that this woman married with a 3-year-old daughter goes to Korea as an investigative reporter and decides with her friend that they're going to sneak into North Korea because they speak North Korean fluently. They're from North Korea. They're from Korean descent. And they're just going to go. There's something wrong with this picture, Don.
Yeah, and it's a little bit too convenient for the Clintons to go over there, especially considering all the money laundering that's going on.
Especially the money laundering that the Clintons are involved in. Okay?
Yeah. And you know, I reported on this show back when they had the first missile scare. This is when they shot two missiles in the direction of Japan. At least that's what they told us, right? Do we know? We don't know that even happened, but that's what they told us.
And that was from leaks from the United States Navy and other military, but we don't have any evidence whatsoever from a third party.
Uh-huh.
There's it's like, okay, well,
I'm going to raise the prices of my barbecue beef because I own the restaurant. Well, who's the winner in this situation?
Yeah, and
owner of the restaurant.
Now I reported that several times on several shows, and at the time we were told that Bush, and this is Baby Bush, went over there and gave Eel something like $55 million. Now, Christopher Story 2 days ago wrote a piece, says it may have been as much as $60 million. What's a couple more million?
Yeah.
But in conjunction with that whole routine, prior to that, they had shifted something like $25 trillion through North Korea's banks to India. This is stolen money. Okay, these were prosperity payouts that are getting a lot of attention on certain websites. And there are at least 40 of these payments that have to be made to individual investors around the United States before any other monies can be paid out to any other countries. Well, I'm not talking about the bailout here. I'm talking about money that they've been playing with illegally. And they've doubled the amount of derivatives that they had just some months ago. It was around $667 trillion. It's now over $1.2 quadrillion. When that falls, watch what happens. And I know you had Bob Chapman on your show today. What is he saying that sort of rhymes with this or points in that direction? Anything?
Yeah, he agrees. I mean, he's on the same boat. He just doesn't have all the figures and the facts. He feels that there's going to be a bank holiday in the very near future, within the next 90 days. He actually said that today. Well, he didn't say it in that many terms, but he said the bank holiday is here. At the end of the show, I actually got a question, and I was able to ask him off air, because he goes from my show to do another radio show. I was able to mute the audience out and ask him to stick around. I had a question, and the question was, what does he feel going to be first, the flu pandemic, mass murder of people around the world, or the bank holiday? And he said the bank holiday.
Yeah, they want to cripple people financially, first of all, so they're almost in a dire need. You know,
and I got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to be the first one to tell you. I learned what colloidal silver was in 1995 through Diane Silverman and Tom Silverman in Hot Springs, Arkansas. Diane and Tom are a married couple. She is from Israeli descent, a true Israeli, not a Jew. She and Tom manufactured colloidal silver devices and sold them out the door for about $50 a pop. I learned from Tom that it's a joke. These things can be manufactured yourself, and I've learned how to do that myself and help other people. And colloidal silver will kill every virus known to man that we know of, in a silver oxidized state. So those of you that want to do something, I'm not trying to make a dime here, Don. I'm trying to educate the public out there and let them know I've got a drawing. It's free. Free. You can download it from my website on how to make your own colloidal silver generator and keep yourself healthy. You can go to any store, Radio Shack, AutoZone, Wally World, Target, whatever, and pick up 3 or 4 9-volt batteries, loop them all together, get a 300-ohm resistor, a couple of alligator clips, and you're in business. You walk over to the jewelry store and get you some .9999 silver rods for about $5. For each one, because you could, a silver rod works about 12 inches long, and two of them together don't even weigh an ounce.
Hmm.
And you can pick up an ounce of silver for about $10. Your batteries are going to be the most expensive thing you got. So you've got the whole thing for $25. and we're talking about health. We're talking about killing the viruses out there. Royal Raymond Rice invented and put together the Rice generator in 1925. It killed every virus known to man, every cancer known to man, and, you know, they just literally ridiculed him. And the FDA was all on his side at one time until somebody behind the scenes, like J.P. Morgan, decided that there wasn't any money in this for them. They would be killing themselves if they eliminated or had put together the Royal Raymond Rice machine that worked on an AC current voltage that Nikola Tesla came up with.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
and
yeah.
It all goes back to the fact that we haven't had real representation for 20 years. We've got the George Herbert Walker Bush. A lot of people don't even know that George Herbert Walker Bush brought us Waco. Waco went up within 4 months of William Jefferson Clinton coming in office, January, February, March, April. We're talking about the 19th day of April, 2 days shy of the fourth month of William Jefferson Clinton going to office when his Department of Defense secretary burned Waco. Janet Reno did that. If those of you that think Janet Reno did it on her own, you're smoking something out there, because William Jefferson Clinton and Hillary Rodham Clinton, they had their feet in this Waco thing knee-deep. But it was brought to us, originally orchestrated under George Herbert Walker Bush. And then Clinton went on during his reign of terror to bring forth the Anti-Terrorist Act. And those of you that forgot that, he tried to force that down our throat. And what did he give us? He gave us Oklahoma City and Timothy McVeigh on his own accord.
Yeah, yeah.
And then George W. Bush comes diddy-bopping in within how long? Within a year, he wants to bring forth a Patriot Act, which is the Anti-Terrorist Act massaged, okay? And what does George W. Bush give us? He gives us 9/11. And he later shoved the bailout bill down our throats just 3 months shy of going out of office. He shoves this massive bailout bill that's costing us trillions of dollars. And now we've got Obama. And what does Obama want to do, Don? He wants a heavy-handed federal government to take over the finance, the regulations, the manufacturing, and the healthcare industry.
And the real estate.
And the real estate. And what kind of crisis is Barack Hussein Obama, a.k.a. long-legged Mac Daddy, going to give us? What kind of agenda are we going to have?
Yeah, well, you know, our Russian friends went through this to some extent, I'm sure, despite what we're told, they're still facing the same things. It's just a little bit different flavor. You know what I mean?
This is one of the things that one of the participants of my chat room show yesterday brought forth. In her commentary, she was asking, "Well, is the government who's the bad guys in government?" And I told her, I said, it's the elitist at the top. It's not, Russian people and American people are the same. They just want to be left alone. They want to plant their garden. They want to take care of their kids. They want to manufacture a car so Mr. and Mrs. Smith can buy a car at a fair price, but they want to make enough money so they can buy groceries and put groceries on the table and put their children through school. Americans and Russians and Chinese, normal American, Russians and Chinese and Japanese, Ugandans, whatever, around the world, Egyptians, the average guy, he just wants to live in peace.
But the governments want to turn us into lab rats or robots.
Ah! Give that man a $10 Cuban cigar.
Are they that cheap now?
Well, they're only $10 in Cuba. They may not.
Yeah.
They're a little more here in the state. But I do have a friend that runs a little boat. He has a pretty big sized boat, and he's headquartered here at the Little Rock Marina. And he takes his little boat out to the Gulf of Mexico, And he travels around the Caribbean, and he pulls into Cuba, which a lot of people in America don't know that Cuba has been off limits to Americans, but they can pull into Cuba at the dock and fill up with petrol anytime they're in that area, and they need to fill up with petrol for their ship or boat. And he has a small ocean going vessel. It's a houseboat that is built to go on the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not cheap, but it's not real expensive. It only cost him $800,000.
Yeah.
The bottom line is he just came back from Cuba, and he said, you know, here I am. I'm over there picking up my little tidbits that I go through, and I find out that the former governor of the state of Arkansas is down there selling rice. And I thought I was coming in and able to pick up me some cigars without anybody worrying about it. And there he is, flapping his lips, lying like a tooth, and smoking cigars at the same daggum marina I happened to pull up in.
Yeah. Well, we got off onto cigars now, but...
Well, hey, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Drew and Don's... 7-Eleven show.
Comedy hour.
Well, you said you wanted to have something to laugh about.
Yeah, we're having fun tonight. Listen, I want to say one thing before you give out your website information and all that. And tell
do I have a website? Oh, yeah, I do. Okay,
Before you do that, and this is for the listeners all around the world, but particularly those in Russia. I've been reading out of a series of books called the Ringing Cedar series. This is a book about Anastasia, written by Vladimir Maigret. And he is a very good writer, but what is most fascinating is this lady who is living literally out in the woods with the animals, with nature, and she has the most incredible insight into understanding foreign languages and tapping into the spiritual realm.
She's a real linguist.
That's not her only talent. I mean, she's a prophetess, and she can calm wild animals, and the animals lie down and guard her while she's sleeping. She is that in tune with nature and that in tune with God's creation. And we all have to start moving towards that. We must do these things on a spiritual level. And I recommend those books to anybody. There are 10 books in the series.
Explain the name of the books again and how we can find these books, please.
Anastasia. Okay, it's spelled like Anastasia. And like we spell Anastasia, okay? Anastasia, okay? And Vladimir Maigret, Megre, with an accent aigu in French, okay? Actually, that's a French name.
Megre?
That's correct.
Okay. And, Anastasia Maigret.
No. Well, yeah, she married Vladimir. Vladimir is the man who wrote the book. He was an entrepreneur who had heard about the ringing cedars. These are trees that reach a very old age, and when they reach a certain age, they have to be cut down and sawn into smaller pieces. And this energy is very healing and very consciousness effective. It uplifts the consciousness and protects the individual that has this. And these cedars literally ring. So we'll talk about this on another show. But you should talk to your girlfriend about maybe hooking you up with some of those books.
Now, wait a minute. I'm decent with some Russian, but I ain't that good.
Well, she could probably get the English version for you.
Well, that's a possibility. Wait a minute. She asked me to get the English versions of books to send to her.
Well, then do it.
Well, I don't know. I have to go out here and find out what we're talking about. Okay.
Okay, but you'll
a little bit more. Hold it. I'm sorry. I just got my posterior kicked. Okay. Thank you. Eugenia Villana is her name, ladies and gentlemen, and she just told me, she just sent me the website. You people have the books in America more than we have here.
Oh, well, I heard that millions in Russia are reading these books.
Well, here's the kicker. This is straight from Simperfol Russia to the listening audience of the American public and the Wind Talker Radio Network. It's the http://anastasia.ca.
That's Canada. It. Canada. Yes.
Okay. It is the story of the ringing cedars.
That's what I said.
And she says, you ought to know about this. We talked about this last month. I forgot. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We talk about so much, it's unreal. We have our phone conversations, and they last for 2 or 3 hours at a time, and people say, sometimes I don't even get a night's sleep because I'm talking to her.
Okay, Drew, I'm sending one more message to Larissa, and I want you to give out your website and how people can get to the drawing of the colloidal silver generator drawing that you have.
I'm going to make it a lot simpler on the colloidal silver. It's going to be I'm going to put it over on the site that has got the Mary Jo Mondello website for her link.
Mm-hmm.
Because it rhymes with the health of herbs, and I'm going to stick a direct link for the drawing to make your own colloidal silver.
Okay.
Okay, and I'll put it right there. It'll be right there on the main page for my website, the 3 W's, AMD.ELEquity.com. That's the 3 W's, Alpha, Mega, Delta, Dot, Echo, Lima, the word equity, .com. And where's my ice cream come?
it's in the mail, okay.
I heard that.
It's got a fragile sticker on it, too.
Well, I'm going to go back to what I said at the beginning of the show.
Okay.
There's this subsidiary network of secret societies in every country that answers to the spider. And their job is to control their country's politics, their country's banking, their country's businesses, the military, the medias, the medicine and pharmaceuticals, and so on and so on and so on. Their job is to introduce in their sphere of influence a global agenda dedicated and dictated by the spider. And those of you that are on Wind Talkers, those of you that are on BBS Radio, you need to understand. There is an inner circle of these sphere of people, and they collectively are known as the Illuminati. Who's in charge of the Illuminati? I don't think, and I don't believe, there's just one person. I believe there's a group of men that are in charge of the Illuminati. George Herbert Walker Bush, Vladimir Putin, are two of those members of that elite group. In my heart, that's what I believe. And it has been this Illuminati of cabal that has established these global bodies around the world, and they pay each other off. They steal your funds, your labor, the sweat off of your brow, and they move the money wide open in front of you under some ruse, like the two girls in North Korea. We've got all this evil out there. We've got all this strength of all the military, and yet we allow things to go on in Burma, where the Burmese are murdering massive amounts of monks and nobody's doing anything about it. We're allowing men and women and children die in Africa, starvation, and yet we've got the technology to bring them food. But no, we take them genetically modified Monsanto and stuff it down their throats, and they are dying over there starving because they can't raise food, because if they grow Monsanto corn, the Monsanto corn next year doesn't produce any corn, it just flowers. That's why they're starving in Africa. So you've got this established global bodies that are bringing you the World Health Organization, the World Bank, the World Trade Organization, that are transferring the power from the masses, and they're putting it into the hands of the elite few. And the goal of the elite few, ladies and gentlemen, is world government, a world central bank, a world currency, and genocide of those that they don't want here, the non-eaters. I mean, the eaters and non-producers. And who dictates who the non-eater and the non-producer is, Don?
George Herbert Walker Bush.
Thank you, sir.
And those like him.
Exactly.
Okay.
But I feel that he is the guy that is sitting on the head of the table with Vladimir Putin and the leader of China.
Yeah. There are a number of them, and we'll pick that up again on another show. You're with us again next week.
I am. I'm going to be with you next week. I don't know if I want to come to Ohio.
Well, I was coming down there to see you, actually.
That was one of the things I was very interested in, is maybe I will come up there and visit with Daryl Dickinson at the Longhorn Beef Ranch.
Oh man, that would be a lot of fun.
I got some cans of that beef. Man, I'm going to tell you, you can't get beef like that in the store. You cannot buy the beef that this man puts in a can. I want to tell you, you're talking about the best barbecue beef sandwich that I've ever ate. I cooked it right here on my stove. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a Longhorn cattle, your great-grandfather's beef, the beef that made this nation. It's actually, there is a large, humongous farm in Ohio ran by Daryl Dickinson, who migrated to Ohio from Texas. He first went to Colorado, and he had major problems there with water. Took his ranch, took his cattle, put them on cattle cars, hauled them to Ohio, and he's got over in the southeast corner of Ohio, bought a large ranch, and raises Longhorn beef, and sells Longhorn beef sperm around the world to people that want to raise Longhorn cattle around the world. He's one of the largest Longhorn cattle producers in the world.
Now, you should have told me you were going to do that commercial. I could have been singing in the background.
You could have pulled out your guitar and played Rawhide.
Well, that's what I was just singing. Rawhide. All right, Drew, give your web address out one more time. We got to say goodnight to the listening audience. I want to thank you for being on Evident Footprints tonight, and I look forward to your appearance next week on Thursday.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the website address is amd.elequity.com. That's the three W's, amd.elequity.com. And those of you in the Marine Corps, that's Alpha Michael Delta Dot Echo Lima Echo Quebec Ulysses India Tango Yankee .com.
Okay. Thank you, Drew. It's been great. It's been a lot
of fun. Can I say good morning to all the listeners on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world, from Sochi, Russia, to Sign, Russia, the six counties of Northern Ireland, especially to my friends in Australia and New Zealand. Bobby, I know you're listening, and I know you did a great job rebroadcasting this show live for those in New Zealand.
Okay, and I want to thank Larissa for the Russian lesson tonight. And folks, time to say goodnight. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com, and Drew Malone reigns the third.
And Larissa says it's 10:30 in her town, a.m.
Is it? Okay, I'll have to make a note of that. Okay, special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and all you folks out there in Radio Land for tuning in. Join us again tomorrow night. We've got another great show for you. Our special guest will be scientist Jim Murray, and we're going to get into this vaccine thing from a scientific point of view. I'm sure you're going to find it very enlightening. You're going to want to tune in to tomorrow night's show.
That's not fair. I can't record it and play it on my show tomorrow afternoon.
Drew, I got to say goodnight here. Come on now. So thank you for tuning in, folks. I want to wish you a night filled with peace, love, and light, or a day, and have a good night.